Lessons I learned from the Stephen Luby's public health story. Now, before I read this, let us read Proverbs chapter 8. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. What I want to emphasize here is Stephen Luby did not use a strange formula or an advanced form of medicine. No. All what Stephen Luby and his team did was to observe what is going on. How are people washing their hands? Why? The wisdom, the solution, the answer was in the very public space. Do you know that most solutions to our problems are in the public? Right? Wisdom is in the public. It's crying out. It only takes you to pause and think, what I'm doing, is it right? The way I carry my life. You only need to pause and behold, and you see wisdom is speaking in every activity in the way we do things. Proverbs chapter 8. If you have a Bible, read it along with me. Doth not wisdom cry? Can we all read, please? We are youths. I expect us to read energetically. Shall we read? Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. And that is the scripture I'm giving you today. Wisdom. The solution in Pakistan. That was wisdom which Stephen Luby used. That was wisdom, right? So no, we don't need expensive medicine here. It's just a habit people have. And if it can be corrected, sickness will stop. Death will stop. That's what he did. Where did he find the answer? In the public places. Wisdom was crying out to say, these people are sick because of... And it took a man from America to fly all the way to Pakistan, not to show them a strange formula, to show them the thing they were already doing, but just telling them, just do it, number one, correctly. Number two, do it consistently. Number one, do it. Number two, that's all he came to do. See, the answer is already among you. That's lesson number one. Herd mentality can make you adapt unhealthy habits for which you have every ability to change and be able to live a better life. Audit. Check your habits. Is this helping me? Or I'm just doing what everyone is doing? Don't just follow the crowd. Don't just say, we are Zambians, we are Africans. No, young man. You can change the course of this country by simply adopting a better habit. You are a youth. There are certain things other generations did which you can do better. Don't follow herd mentality. It's just like going in the house with shoes. I used to do that. But you know, they say traveling is education. When I went to Singapore, I noticed people don't go into their homes with shoes. When I went to India, I noticed people don't walk into their homes with shoes. I was happy. Even Kenya, they don't walk. An African country, I was happy to see that. You know, when I came back, whenever I'm entering a certain house, I'll take off shoes. You should have seen the protest people were saying, ah, we pachifirika yai, seo wana kazi kabili, ndiye nchito yasu. People would literally pick my shoes and put them in the house to say, chifirika chakana papiri. I took the trouble to explain, to say, look here. Why I'm taking off shoes, I'm not trying to play humbleness. No! It's a health practice. Because if I wear shoes like this, if I go to town, I go in a public toilet. Tell me what is the state of toilets in town? Urine. Or if I go to a pit latrine, whatever I've stepped on. During the day, if you take an audit, how many germs you've picked by your shoe? It's terrible. If you magnified these things under a microscope and you watched them on a screen, you run away from that cinema. When you see how a single germ looks like and what it wants to do to your body. Now, you get into your house with your shoes. And in Africa, in our homes, we have many children and babies. And they are all crawling. The dirt you picked from town center, the little child touches. The next thing it touches where? In the mouth. Not just children. You are in the kitchen. A cup falls down. You pick. Now, where it has fallen, you may not see, but there is a little micro thing which I picked from town center. It is on that floor. You know that? Hello? You use that for drinking water. That is why our friends are wiser in taking off shoes when entering the house. I learned that. This is simple. I said I will implement it in my home. I think let's be leaving shoes outside. As a house, we started doing that. Say, it's a good health practice. It's a good health practice. Hey, I had a struggle. But as I started visiting homes of different relatives, you know what's happening now? I've seen a change in the homes of my relatives. I've seen a number of them now, when entering their house, they say, Vokamba apiri vupanga sense. Mansapa toyofanika panja. You see that one positive aspect of behavior you can introduce can educate another person. Right? I've seen a number of them now. They don't enter with shoes inside the house. Why? They saw wisdom out of it. So instead of herd mentality, try to check things. Say, I think this doesn't make sense. There's a better way we can do this. Amen? Another habit where we follow herd mentality. After eating, uyasiri zakuja, atengambale, avisia. So that who cleans? So that Comfort cleans. Eh? Or so that Christine cleans. Or so that your mommy cleans. And then you find there is a heap of plates. The flies come. The cockroaches come. And this poor girl, who is also supposed to be doing homework, she's cleaning the plates. Don't you think there's an easier way to rearrange the way we do things? Is it difficult after eating? You just take your plate, you lens, you take it, put it where it's supposed to be. Is it a very complicated work? I'm asking, is it complicated? Hey, girls, you better be screaming louder. If it's your no, let it be felt. Is it a complicated work? No, it's not. Anyone can do it. If I can do it in my own home, who are you? A young child who is just kept. You can do it. You are reducing the work for your mama. You are reducing the work for your sisters. And you are introducing a good habit in you. A habit of cleanliness. Not only are you doing that, you are reducing on the population of cockroaches in your home. And flies. Isn't it marvelous? Marvelous. Are you able to do that? Clean a plate. Is it hard work? I know some of you today, you go and do some cleaning. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the second thing. It's called what? Consistency. Consistency is what makes the difference, not motivation. If today you go and do that, I'll say you've been motivated. But those who came late, we looked at two important graphs. There is a graph of motivation. A graph of motivation is like this. You hear something, you go and do it. Everyone even says, hey, lero auka 6, lero, I think we're now punzisa ku youth meeting moko. The following day, hey, na lero auka 6 o'clock and ze pianga, ah, wana punzira. Third day, vakanga, back to normal. We say you were motivated. But consistency is like this. The secret is, this is what makes a difference in life. When you've learned something and you make sure you do it every day, it becomes part of your life. No one needs to remind you. That's consistency. If you've ever heard of someone who became an expert at something, whether it's music, whether it is, whatever it is, consistency is what produced that out of them, not motivation, no. Now, when you put a combination of motivation and consistency, you become an explosion. Number two lesson we learn from the Steve and Ruby story. Knowing the right thing to do and doing the right thing, but without consistency, we will not produce meaningful results. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I said? Knowing the right thing to do and doing that right thing is good, but without consistency, it won't produce meaningful results. Knowing the right thing to do, that's good. And even doing it, that's good. But without consistency, you won't see results. Three, haphazardly performing actions gives a semblance of action, but it actually is the same as doing nothing at all. When you heard something, and you say, we need to be cleaning plates. So you've eaten. You get a plate. You just do it quick. Yeah, you put it. I think this is good. Well, what's the problem with that? You're doing the thing haphazardly. Remember what we said about haphazardly? Doing something without paying attention to detail. You're just doing it to fool yourself like you've performed that action. But when your mama picks that plate, even the map of Africa can be seen of debt, which is still there. Stains of Nshima can still be seen on that plate. It means it's the same as you did not clean the plate. So you are fooling yourself. So what I learned, the third thing from this story is, when you do something haphazardly, yes, you've done something, but actually there's nothing you've done. Why? You are doing it to score a point that you've done what they said should be done. But a person who pays attention to detail, when they're performing an activity, they are fully present. They want to do it excellently. That's important. Can you give me an example of how lesson number three happens? You can give an example of sweeping, how someone can do something haphazardly. You can give an example of music. You can give an example of prayer. You can give an example of... I want to hear examples from here. Can you give me an example in your own life? Don't give a general example. Tell me something you've done haphazardly. Tell me something you've done haphazardly and you are convinced in you... Stand up. That no, it was haphazard and it doesn't actually... It's true, it doesn't produce results. Doing something haphazardly. Talarisha. Studying? Uh-huh.
Normally, I would say that I'm going to study. I just get a book, I open it, and start reading.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's haphazard. Oh, your dad says, you should be studying. You should be studying. So, Ntararisha says, I pick a book, and I say, okay, let me go and study. He even picks a book I've gone to study. When the father checks, oh, yeah, Ntararisha. But he's confessing to say, many times I do it haphazardly, meaning I'm not even paying attention to detail to say, okay, which topic is this? Let me tell you the opposite of haphazardly. Haphazardly studying is just skimming through things. You even doze off. In case you are dozing whilst reading, no, you're doing it haphazardly. Of course, there are other reasons where someone, maybe you've overstudied, but many times people can do that because they're doing it haphazardly. But let me tell you something who is doing it on purpose. First, even before they start studying, what topic is this? They look at the topic, okay, what are my objectives? By the time I'm done, let me check the exam questions I can answer on this topic. They circle exam questions. They even first look at how questions come in an exam. Once they're done with that, they say, okay, now let me first go to my class notes, the ones I wrote during class. He reads through. Okay. Let me go to the textbook. Let me search on the internet. What's the meaning of this word? I need to know what's the meaning of this word. You go, you research and all that. As you are reading, you have in mind the exam questions you wrote. You want to be able to answer those questions. Are you seeing the difference with real studying? A person who is from real studying, by the time they are done, they feel like, okay, I've done something. Do you think that's what you do in Talarisha? That's why you are calling it haphazard, right? And when you do something haphazardly, Remember what I said? It does not produce results. Why? You were fooling yourself. God bless you. You can sit down and thank you for being honest. Another example for haphazard. Okay, we'll start with Susiso, then Joshua.
I think for me, what I do haphazardly is prayer. When I start to pray, I won't pray for a long time. While I'm praying, I'll be thinking about something else. When I get out of what I was thinking, I'll just feel like ending my prayer, and that's all.
Ha! God bless you. That's a very important example. You can sit down. Did you hear that? He says, I pray haphazardly. And he goes in detail explaining that many times, I'll just think, okay, it's time to pray, and I need to pray. So he starts praying, but he says, Siusiso says, as he is praying, in his mind is thinking about something else. Maybe another interesting thing has come. So he will just pray to put it on record that he has prayed. And then when he's done praying quickly, he wants to go do that thing which intervened in his mind. How many have gone through that before? God bless you. So you see, you are not alone, Siusiso. You see, almost all the hands went up. The trouble with doing something haphazardly is you haven't actually done the thing. And it won't produce results. Someone will say, oh, we need to be praying. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to... So quickly, you just briskly go through it. Your mind is detached and all that. Yes, you think you've scored a mark that I've done this, but actually, you've done zero work. Joshua?
For me, it's music.
Uh-huh.
Usually, I do it out of motivation. I'm not usually consistent.
So usually you do something because you've been motivated, but then consistency lacks.
Yes.
And what result does that produce?
I'm usually on the same page
you
as I was.
You go back on the same level. Thank you for that. You can sit down. So he talks about, oh, I get motivated. Maybe he sees someone who plays nicely. So Joshua thinks, okay, let me try to do that. He tries to do that, but later on, the fire, the energy dies out, and he's not consistent with that. Then he says, I find myself on the same level. I am not making progress. That is true. Any other? Christian?
It's about...
Louder?
For me, it's about sweeping the house.
Sweeping the house?
Yes. Sometimes when my mom tells me to do it.
When your mama tells you to do it?
Sometimes I get distracted by other things.
You get distracted by other things, right?
Yes.
And that makes you not do it well,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you. How many can identify with what Christian is saying? He says, mama tells me to clean, to sweep. But then I don't apply my whole mind to do it. And because I'm not giving it attention, he says, I find myself not doing it right. And then when a distraction comes, maybe I'm supposed to play, I'm supposed to do other things, I find myself carried away. That's the danger of doing things haphazardly. God bless you. You can see that. Siwongi?
For me, it's like they give us classwork. And then...
When they give you classwork?
Yeah. And then... I think about something like, I'm doing this work, but I didn't finish copying those notes for instance. So I start writing the work first, and then it's like I forget to put like an answer on a certain question. And then I start doing that other work that I was supposed to do. And then I get surprised that when they're giving me my book now, I find that that question I didn't answer and I get it wrong.
Thank you. Are you hearing what he's saying? He has schoolwork, but because of not fully concentrating, he finds himself writing quickly because he wants to finish that task. Maybe it's a question, he finds certain places he hasn't answered, and then later on when the teacher gives back the results, that's when he says, oh, I got these things wrong. Not that he didn't know the right answers to give, but because he was in a hurry, he simply wanted to perform that task and to finish it so that he can do something which is interesting him. And in doing things haphazardly, he finds himself not doing things perfectly. I think we can all agree that's what happens when we do things like that. God bless you. You can sit down. Any other person to give us an example of an experience? Terry?
For me, it comes when it's my music practice time. Mm-hmm.
Usually I don't do it out of passion or what I'm supposed to do, but I do it out of fulfilling my task on my shade. You know, it's really that I look at the notes, the skills that I'm looking at in the week.
Thank you. So he's talking about his music lessons. He just has to do it because, oh, I was supposed to do this. And, you know, music is an art. When you're trying to practice music and your heart is not in it, you're going nowhere. So he just does it. I need to fulfill this task. And because of that, are you happy with the progress you're making?
No.
No. It can never be. Because when you do something haphazardly or for the sake of fulfilling that task, it is never a satisfying experience. And it can never produce an excellent result. Okay, sit down. Jason?
When it comes to cleaning my room, mm-hmm. occasionally I clean well, but in most days I just clean the visible parts.
Uh-huh. Yes. Good example. Sit down. Cleaning my room, the times I do good cleaning, but many times I just clean the visible parts. What's the problem of only cleaning the visible parts? What's the problem? You and I know what problem.
Because that's where everyone can see.
That's where everyone can see. And over time, you know what happens? There is dirt accumulating in the hidden places. Right? Any other example? I need sisters now. Naomi. Sorry, brother.
For me, it's when we are given assignment, because usually we like writing notes, so I feel bored writing a lot of notes. So I did haphazardly at the end of the day, not understanding what I was writing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You can sit. That has to do with your course, right? Writing notes is taking time, and oh, then later on you find that, oh, I didn't understand that topic very well. That is true. In the interest of time, you can sit down. By the way, that was not punishing you. It was making you do an exercise so that you stand up a little bit with me. Thank you. But I know all of you, you have examples of things we have done haphazardly. So that was three. Number four, the fourth lesson we can learn from Professor Stephen Luby. Professor Luby brought a cure which didn't require a lot of money or procuring medicines. People were simply taught to invest time in properly washing hands. Diarrhea fell by over 52%, pneumonia by 48%. Many solutions to the problems you have require common sense. Making a plan, actioning the plan, and being consistent with your actions. Number five, what may sound like big problems? That's another lesson I learned. What may sound like big problems? For example, public health emergency, epidemic, health crisis. These really, they are simple problems, but which were growing slowly over time. Do we agree to that? When they make an announcement, there is cholera epidemic in Zambia. That sounds big news. It sounds depressing news. It sounds like a crisis. But always remember, all such crises were small problems, but which were given a conducive environment and enough time to grow and multiply until when you woke up, it was an army of a problem. How did that problem grow? It started with habits. Habits. Bad habits can destroy and ruin your future. Believe me. And you know why? It's a lethal weapon, a bad habit. You don't see its bad result now. Its bad result is an accumulation of small steps. You don't know how much bacteria is growing, eating off your life, eating off your future, waking up late, feeling lazy to study. It's a small habit. It happens every day. You can't see the problem right now, but you ask any doctor, bacteria, for it to reach a point that it makes you sick, it simply means it has multiplied. It has now invaded you like an army. When you look at it under the microscope, it's a small thing. You can't see it with your eye, but that thing in big numbers can send you to the grave. That's how habits are. Can you give me an example of a habit which, if done slowly and every day, can ruin your life? Give me examples of habits which are dangerous. When you look at it, It doesn't look so bad and harmful, but it can eat up your future. Brother Teddy. Sorry? Eating junk food. Say it again, brother, louder. I want Christabel to hear it, because Christabel, I think you eat junk food. Do you? Good girl. You know what junk food is? What is junk food? So, sister.
Junky foods are simple foods which have a lot of fat and oil.
Those are some of the characteristics they have, Brother Jason.
They are fast food like Hungry Lion.
Hungry Lion. Hey, let's not mention brands, lest we get sued. Let's just give general examples. Junk foods. So what Jason said, let's call it chicken and chips. Junk foods. The one which always gives me trouble of picking litter here. Snacks. What kind of snacks? Jiggies. Huh? Siwang. Sorry? Huh? What is that? Those are modern ones. I don't even know them now. They sound like whatever it is. But you know, when you eat junk food, it's so tasty and nice. But when it becomes a habit, where every day, and what is sad is parents sometimes, they pack these things in your lunch boxes. Every day, they include that biscuit. They include that jiggies and stuff like that. When you consume something, no matter how small, if you are doing it consistently, it becomes part of you. Did you know that? You know when it will manifest? It will manifest as you get older. When you get older, you start having strange sicknesses. Why? Your system has been feeding on that. Let me give you examples of junk foods that you need to go back to your parents when you see it. You say, I think this, no more. Junk foods include these drinks like Mazoe. These, you know these drinks which you have to add water for it, which you have to dilute. Huh? You know that's junk food? It has artificial sweeteners and it's not good for you. Once in a while, okay. But every day taking it for school, you are creating a mortuary in you. Yeah. You are creating a mortuary in you. You are laying up for a sickness when you hit your 40s. And I'm not saying everyone who gets a sickness, they did that. But look, we're not perfect people in this world. But if we follow rules, and science has proved that when you avoid these things, you live a healthier life. Look at Zambia. You know, we are more prayerful than Japan. I mean, in Japan, they are not into Christianity and spiritual, whatever. They don't have national day for prayer and fasting. In Zambia, we pray for everything, even including a solution for cholera. Even when our kwacha misbehaves, we are ready to go in fasting for the exchange rate to improve. You know, in Zambia, we are prayerful in that context. It's not spiritual prayerfulness. It's religious prayerfulness. But listen to me. There are laws and principles God made. You follow them and obey them, they work good for you. You don't follow them, even if you are his child, but you are foolish, they won't work for you. Right? Can you see a live electricity wire and say, I'm a man of faith, let me step on it? Is that how God works? No, the principle of physics dictates that where there is that huge flow of electrons and it comes in contact with you, you become a very good conductor. To kill you, you get electrocuted. You don't call that faith. That is foolishness. Right? So how come Japan has a life expectancy of about 85, 86 years old? That's when many people die. Come back here to Zambia, 65 years old. Our life expectancy is very low. We die early. Is it because, well, on every funeral we say, God took him. Nintawi. That's what we say, right? Imagine Nichan in Tawi Matikwanira is a Mu Africa on a large scale. Every now and then in Tawi is 65 years old. Kujakwin and Tawi yao Nkolokao iwa kwanira pa 85 years old. Is that really how it works? There's something right we're not doing. Isn't it? Even if we claim to be spiritual, we claim to be prayerful, if we keep our environments dirty, they'll send us early to the grave.
If a Japanese man is not a believer, but he knows how to use the God-given senses to say, cleanliness, I'm supposed to observe. I need to drink water. I need to eat more vegetables than meat. And he follows those rules which God established in the Bible. Even if he doesn't read the Bible, the rules will work for him. Is that correct? Yeah. I told you of a funeral I attended, and everyone was looking so, you know what they mean when they say vakuwantu? Wanamulowa. So now I'm seeing everyone is in a sad, somber state. Hey, how did this man die? And they look at blood. He was bewitched. Nvakuwantu. But I have a little education. It tells me if someone vomited a lot of blood, there are certain diseases or things he did, I suspect. So the next question I asked, I said, was he drinking a lot of beer? One took me by the face. Koma anamwa. Akali bomali ranamwa kachasu for 3 days. Not, aha, anaziroa. Devaku antuivo, anaziroa. Don't tell me he was bewitched. No! Why? Science says it. If someone drinks and drinks and drinks kachasu, you know what it does? It goes for your liver. It damages your liver. The next thing you start vomiting blood. It's called cirrhosis. It has a name. It's a disease. Because the liver sieves out poison out of your system. Did you know that? That's its work. To remove poison. Even the vegetables you eat, if there is any chemical in there, the liver tries to clean. Tries to clean. Now, imagine drinking alcohol. You make it overwork. You make it what? Overwork. If you could hear it, it would be telling you, nalema, nalema, chefyankoni. It is crying out. Why? You are giving it poison. Poison. Do you know that every person who drinks and gets drunk, they are committing suicide, except it is in slow motion? Did you know that? Any person who smokes, that is slow motion suicide. God gave us water to drink. God gave us food to eat. But the foolishness of a human being gets these poisonous substances, puts them in the system, and the system will tell you, this is not meant for me. That is why the first time you do it, whether it's beer or what, you react. Why? The system is telling you, this is not for me. I've seen people who take energy drinks. May I see the hands of those who take energy drink? Be sincere. My Lord, my Lord. Tell yourself, shame on me. Come on, say it. If you raise your hand, say, shame on me. Some people have gotten used to that. When you see these people who like doing bricklaying work, or heavy work, they take energy drinks. They say, vuma pasa mpamfu, ni manvela mpamfu. You know what's going on in you? When you take that energy drink, it messes up your system. It excites the heart. The heart begins to. So you feel your energy. You feel up. You feel sharp. That's what you guys say. I feel sharp. You feel sharp, eh? What you're doing to your system, you're damaging it. Joshua knows the story about that one time when we went to the hospital. When this doctor got upset, he says, and this is what he told me, energy drinks are drugs, and I don't know why they allow them in shops. That was a medical doctor telling me that, and he was very upset. These things are destroying our young people. You know what happens when you take those things? Your system, your heart becomes dependent on it. The day you stop taking it, you'll be feeling lazy and drowsy, and you'll be oversleeping. When you take it, that's when you become active. You know what's happening? Those things you overwork, they become dependent on that, and you are weakening them. By the time you hit 40, 45, 50, you have a heart problem. And you know what? You'll be calling us to pray for you. Do you think God will answer the prayer? Hello? No. Because God does not take care of carelessness. Can we say that all together? God does not take care of, let's say it again,
God does not take care of. If you can't care yourself, God won't care. Because you are demonstrating, I am foolish, I am abusing the resources you gave me. Never put an energy drink to your lips. I don't care which advert you've watched. Go on YouTube, type a simple search, dangers of energy drinks to health. It's a drug. You know what Satan does? He takes the wrong thing and gives it good packaging. And so he does it. And you know what they do? They'll take a very popular person. Who are these popular guys? Maybe it's Yomaps. Which ones do you know? Huh? Chirewan. Who else? Makitu. He will pose with that drink. He's taking a drink with hands like this and say, I would like to be like Chirewan. Chirewan drinks mojo. You go to him and see how many mojo drinks he has. You find the poor fellow maybe follows health rules. He doesn't even drink that. You need to know that for these adverts you see, they pay that person to feature. It does not mean that person drinks that thing. You understand that? It does not mean when something is being advertised that it's a good product. How many have ever seen an advert for a cigarette? Tell me what's written there. Harmful to health. You know that on every cigarette they've written that? Because when you buy that thing, it damages your lungs. But because people want it, they take that and many get sick with cancer. Listen to me, young people. God has only given us 70 to 80 years old to live up to 70 to 80 years old in this life, if God gives you that grace. You can't shorten that already small lifespan further by having bad habits. You can't do that. Don't do that. What may sound like big problems, it's not like they started as big problems. It's a small habit. A small thing done consistently grows big. Have you ever seen an anthill? An anthill can grow this big, right? Do you know what makes an anthill? It's a very small creature. Try to push an anthill. Can you push it? Get a hammer, try to hit it. It won't break. It's very hard. Who made that thing? It's a creature much smaller than you. Very small, tiny creature. But they are doing it consistently. Consistently. It forms a big hill which you can't break. That's the thing with habits. Habits are done in small measures. But once a habit becomes strong, it will become a monster. You fail to run away from it. There are many people today, they want to stop drinking. They are failing to drink because they've become addicted. Do you know there are people, if they haven't drunk, they shake. You've seen people like that? Kunjenje maso, akamwamu ndepa minankara nomu. What kind of a confused life is that? You stay away from beer, sick. When they drink, they become normal. But you know the problem? They die quickly. They die quickly. Don't do that. This lesson we've learned today about consistency, in what areas of life can you apply it? Number one, you can apply it in your talent management. Where can you use today's lesson about consistency and the importance of doing the right thing and being consistent at it? You can apply it in talent management, application. What we've learned today, apply it. You can apply it in talent management. I don't know what your talent is. Is it singing? I don't know that thing which is your talent. We can apply this lesson. If you have a talent, this talent can be music. For example, let's look at an example of a music. Keyboard, piano, guitar. You can be like people of Pakistan, where they thought they were washing hands, but nothing was happening. They were still getting sick. Some of you are sick in your talents. You know what I mean by saying sick in your talent, eh? You can't produce proper sound the way it's supposed to be. All of us who are in music and there's something you do in music, or whether it's sound or whether it's playing an instrument, how many feel I'm seeking my talent? Yeah. How many, hands down, thank you, how many can say, I have the knowledge of what I need to be doing? Yeah. Are you seeing exactly what Professor Lubi said? The problem is not knowledge. The problem is consistency. So what is preventing you from becoming an expert? It's not that you don't have knowledge. It's because you are not consistent with what you know. You know that you need to practice. You know that you need to invest time and doing this and that. But what is killing your talent? You lack consistency. So disciplined routine is what produces results, not haphazard and intermittent practice. Oh, today you've heard about something. That sound felt nice. You just do it. Afterwards, you move away from it. That is not what will make you a great player. What produces great results are people who are consistent. If every day at 17 hours I'm supposed to be practicing, whatever happens, 17 hours I'm supposed to go for my practice. Consistency. Talk about consistency, there's sad stories in this church. You know, I've been passionate to try to have people play instruments. Started with saxophones, guitars. When the team learning guitars were started, they even came, we prayed for them. It was a team, it started with a big bang. When we had a workshop, we invited someone to train them. How many remembers that? Terrorists. They came here, and there was an instructor. He says, okay, let us strum this key. And wow, it was, I need to tell you, it was the team which most impressed me. I came here, I said, wow, things are happening. All of them were jamming together. Motivation. Second day, one person was missing. Second week, a team of seven reduced to one person. Until the person, although I was paying him to do that, he's the one who came to me to say, the team is not serious. I'm begging them to come for lessons. What was that? Was it motivation or consistency? When we started the program, everyone was like, yeah, we're going to be guitarists. I can tell you one thing, if they had paid for those lessons out of their pockets, probably they would have behaved better. But I paid for it. No one felt the pain. So all of them simply absconded the lessons, and all the money went in water. Another workshop I organized was learning sound management. People learned, nothing happened. Organized the second workshop, learned, nothing happened. Until now, I think we're heading somewhere with Brother Teddy. Hoping so. Motivation is very costly when you invest resources in it, but people are not consistent. It doesn't produce results. It becomes wasteful. So what produces great results in your talent is not action only. It has to be action plus consistency. This is what will make you great at what you are doing. You don't need to be a genius to produce great results. You just need to be a consistent person. That's how God has designed it. Anything consistent, it will break through. Do you know that if you have a rock here, and there's a pipe of water which keeps dripping here every day, do you know that this thing will split over time? You know that? Yes. What does that? Is it because water is very tough and hard? Is that the reason? What will crack this rock? What? Consistency is what will break the rock. I don't care how complicated something is. If you commit your heart to it, you pray over it, and you become consistent, you do it even when you are not in the mood. One day, you take that guitar, you strum it, and people will say, wow, what a God-given talent. You know, there are certain people, when they play, they put their fingers on this thing. Ooh, you even feel the anointing. You say, wow. When that one plays it, here's good news for you. Do you know that God is interested in talent? Huh? Hey, sometimes we think mediocrity is humility. Have you ever heard of that word, mediocre? How many have heard of the word mediocre? Those who are hearing it for the first time, say, depend on. Oh. Let's look at this word, mediocre. Who knows what the word mediocre means? When someone says, that's mediocre. Or your skill, imagine someone tells you, your skill is full of mediocrity. What is mediocrity? I know Bembers feel like it's an insult. Mediocre. When someone says, that's mediocre. Or you're trying to play sound on the piano. Then someone says, that's not a real skill. It's mediocre. What's the meaning of mediocre? I'll read it for you. Mediocre means being moderate or low quality. Ulipakati pakati chabe. You're not very good. You're not very bad. Ukaliza wantu mvela, ya kulisa undi amena ichu wakabati. Aesako. That's mediocre. Low quality. Low quality, low value, low ability, or poor performance, or ordinary. Something which is average. You call that mediocre. Can I ask you something? If God wanted to put a building here, or if God wanted someone to put curtains in this church, what skill would he go for? Would he go for mediocre skill? That's not in his character. We can read it in the Bible. Whenever God wanted something done, he picked the best. I have scripture for you for that. Let us read Exodus 31. Verse 1 to 6. Exodus 28. Let us start with Exodus 28. Exodus 28. Verse 1 to 6. This is God speaking to Moses. God is looking for a tailor. Mulungu asakira tailor la. Azatunga vamene vazambovara ma priests. Mulungu asakira ndani tailor la. Christian, if you wanted a beautiful dress, would you want a tailor who is just average, or one you hear that that tailor is good, when he makes a dress it always comes out? Which one would you go for? Would you say, I'm a humble person, I'll just go with this one who has average skill? Is that humility? You want to go for the one who's good, right? Let's see how God chose the tailor. I'm emphasizing this point because many times in Africa we think mediocrity is synonymous with humility. That's not true. It doesn't mean when you do things which are shoddy, they lack in quality, that we're a humble bunch of people. That's not humbleness. It's mediocrity. You understand that? Don't confuse mediocrity with humility. No. Let's see how God does it. He wanted a tailor. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Did you hear that? For glory and for? Meaning God is interested in beauty. Right? Mulungu sana kamba ati mwikonze bwino tabala kumufaya kwa manyula manyula so. Paoneke kwa manyula manyula. He said, I want it to look good and beautiful. Who is saying that? Who is saying that? God. So if we want to make a house of God, if we want to make things, we say, okay, let us make a pulpit. Let us make a table for the piano. We want it. Let me ask you, is this looking good? Another person will say, ah, I think it's a bit my block. Nivamulungu chambe tifa kena piano pangwamba. Nivamulungu ivo. That's not what it means. Where you are able to put resources together, the thing you do, let it look good. Right? We want, by the time we'll be done with this church building, it needs to look good as the house of God, where if one comes here, you want to spend time in prayer, it will feel good, it will feel nice. If it is putting a carpet down, let's put it. Why? It has to be a good, nice atmosphere. If we're going to put curtains in here, let them be good and nice. It's worthwhile. Amen. If Teddy works on sound, says, no, I want sound to be coming out proper and nice. That is why he's still doing his studies, he's still doing his research, so that things are done properly. If it's people who are singing, let them put focus and attention to what they're doing. In the Bible times, there were people who were specifically meant for singing, and they put in their best in that activity. Is that correct? If you're doing the guitar, invest time and skill in that. Right? Hello? Yes. Naomi, you are studying as a nurse, right? Whatever you are studying, you have to be very good and excellent at it. When you're writing an exam, why do they give you an exam? They want to graduate the best. Because you can't put a human body under a person who is having question marks. I'll tell you my experience when he was a baby. We were always admitting him. Oh, the temperature has gone up. We take him to the hospital. We'll take him to the hospital. They check. Ah, sitizi babati, umuviri, ungo kupetaesa, kumpasa mankwara, siyashita chani. Now, if a doctor tells you that, he says, we don't know what is causing it, I mean, you feel hopeless, right? Another time again, he got sick to the hospital again. Ah, abwera 40, uyumwana temperature imakwela. Doctor, what is the problem? I think percent day is abwerera. Don't give me answers. You are answering like me, who is a lay person. This time we went to UTH. Luckily, there was this white doctor. They just came. They visited Zambia. I don't know what project that was. So she was an elderly white doctor. Previously, they would inject him this, take a blood sample and stuff like that. This doctor didn't even do any of that. She just said, how often has he been having that? She looked at him. She had a torch in her hand. She says, young boy, open your mouth, open your mouth. She checked. And she says, tonsillitis. I thought that it can't be that simple. I mean, we've been having this problem for months and months, and you're telling me it's tonsils. You haven't even injected or taken a blood sample. You just tell me it's something to do with the tonsils. I had never been told that. You know what I told her? I said, but are you not going to check his blood? And she was very quick and straight to the point. She said, sir, I'm a professional at what I'm doing. If you feel you want a second opinion, you can go elsewhere. But I'm telling you what I've examined. The boy has tonsillitis. But he's your child. You're at liberty to, in my heart to say, I've spoken humbly. Why is she being very hard and tough on me? She didn't know my background of, this is not the first time I was tired of what I had gone through. You understand that? She said, sir, your boy has tonsillitis and he needs to stop eating jiggies. He needs to stop eating these Fantas and cold drinks and all that. Follow that and the problem will stop. She didn't tell me,
this medicine, that medicine, he needs this and that. Of course, she told me, she gave me the right antibiotic to use for the problem he had. And you know what? That was the answer. From that day, we stopped giving him cold things, Fanta stuff, these junk foods and all that, and that is how the problem stopped. For a long time, the boy never had a problem. And he'll tell you, if he eats ice cream today, he does this and that, he'll have an attack. And now I was discussing with one of someone. I said, tonsillitis is a simple problem. So I was asking him, but why didn't they tell me that? You mean, why couldn't they suspect that? The way that white woman, she went straight to the point and said, I want to check his throat. Why is it that all these my people, and I said, I don't believe they don't have expertise. This is a simple problem. Some people are able to diagnose it without any medical background. I said, it's either the people who are checking him are lazy, they are not competent, or they're simply lazy at their job. You know, that's much of our attitude in Zambia, being lazy at our job, not doing the right thing you're supposed to do. You know that? So friends, when you read this story, God wanted a tailor. What kind of a tailor? Verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom are filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. God wanted it to look beautiful, and he wanted particular people to do it. You also find that in Exodus 31, verse 1 to 6. Exodus 31, verse 1 to 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and have filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works. Can you see that? God appointed Bezaleel to work in cunning works. Cunning works means very skilled and beautiful when he's done. And it's God who anointed him with skill. That's a God I serve. A God who doesn't give credit to mediocrity. When he wanted the tabernacle made, he picked the best of the skill to do the work. So if you are here, you work, whether in church or at some business company, do your work perfectly. Amen. So this, it can be applied to talent. It can also be applied in your career. Some people think God will just judge us in spiritual gifts and all that. God will judge you on how you are working, even in your physical work. If you are a doctor, if you are a nurse, if you are a housewife, if you are a carpenter, whatever it is, you'll be judged in your work. Right? If you are a maid, you clean at home, do it perfectly. If you are a child, your parents send you to clean the yard, do it perfectly. The eye of the Lord is in everything. God sees how you carry yourself in everything you do. Can I tell you a little secret here? Don't take comfort in wrong habits. Instead, learn this fact. People who are consistent, people who pay attention to detail, they excel at what they do. And usually they're the ones who get promoted. Don't comfort yourself in foolishness. Many times. Hey, I've worked in management level. People you promote are people who are consistent, people who are professional and skilled at what they're doing. Let no one lie to you. You understand what I'm saying? And all that. Listen to me. When you focus on the work you do and you are consistent, you report on time and you commit your whole in what you are doing and you do it exceptionally, God will be happy with what you are doing, and it's Him who promotes. Promotion does not come from the east, the north, whatever. It comes from above. Be good at what you are doing. Amen. Don't say everyone comes late. That's the culture here. No. Whatever you are doing, even if it's physical work, you are serving God. Do it for the glory of God. Amen? Not when we come at a company They say, ah, ni believer uja. Ama bwela leti mdala uja. Ama bwela leti mzimai uja. A believer having such a testimony, it does not bring honor to God. Amen? If there is record keeping, be the one to be known to be very honest. Uja sasho tesa, ilo sunga pangena edil uja. Ama ulula uja. Yes, let that be your reputation. Do things honestly and in the right way. Amen? Be honest. Be sincere. You understand that? Don't say, Kawiri is my boss. Aaron Weaver, she said, say, my conscience is not good doing such a thing. Be upright like Daniel. Be upright like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? Gatini mkampani mabosses wakutuma na ukunema yuniti mapezirako ya chani ya lunch. Na boss waziwa. Don't believe that na boss waziwa. It's not true. If there is a change, ni 50 ngwe ya sala, bweza. That's a believer. You understand that? Don't say no, that's what everyone does it. That's what everyone does it. You are not everyone. You are a child of God. Praise God. Yes. I mean, there will be tempting situations. I've always told you this story. At a company I used to work for, there was a director and there was a vice director. These always used to be together. We used to get paid on the table. So this time I was given my salary. It was small. They were making me overwork. I would work from 8 hours to 21 hours, standing up on a hungry stomach. But I was always faithful with my work. It was a college. Even the vice director had to tell the director to say, I think we are abusing the young man. Let us increase his pay. The director was still not wanting to do that. You know what happened? A payday came and he made a mistake in my pay. He paid me by 200 kwacha extra. I went home. The salary was small. I had credits like everyone else. The money was not enough. Inside my heart, I knew they were abusing me. I was overworking. Here I was counting the money, and it was over by 200 kwacha. That time, 200 kwacha was a lot of money for me. It's in that moment Satan speaks, they abuse you. It's in that moment he speaks, this is the blessing of the Lord. It's in that moment he speaks, you replace it later on, use it, you uzaka bweza. What will you do? Do the right thing. What's the right thing? Take it back. Amen. I took it back. I said, sir, I think you made a mistake. You know what he asked? He told me, are you sure? I said, yeah, it was over by 200. Mr. Piri, are you sure? Yes. I gave it back to him without a thank you, Mr. Piri. You know what the devil now comes to do? Whoa, waona. Whoa, sana kuzekona, thank you. You would have taken it. It would have been good for you. He didn't even mind about it. You know what? Another month again, I was paid extra. I think that was by 300 kwacha. Now, you have all reasons now to say, this now belongs to me. We are tested in many ways. You understand that? I still took it back and said, you paid extra. You know why I took it back again? We don't do right things for people to see us. We do it for God. You understand what I said? We don't do it for eye service, for someone to see. No! We do it for the glory of God. It's not that boss I'm serving. It's God. I have a bigger boss who sees everything. You understand that? So I do the right thing, not for people to reward me. No, I do it because it is the right thing to do. If you can be youths who follow such principles, we have a future church here. If we don't have that, we have a bunch of hypocrites. Don't do that. Even if it's your best friend, you simply tell him, it's not a right thing to do. It's not. And when you do things like that, people will respect you. Can I tell you a testimony of what happened? That company,
really abused me. They would make money? Yes, they would. When it is salary, they just had this thing in them. They couldn't appreciate I was the main worker. I was the main worker. I was handling the most of the classes. Later on, when business was low, you know what they told me? Mr. Piri, I think we'll take you on part-time. Meaning you'll just be earning your salary when you're reporting for a week. That was serious abuse they were doing. So now, I had rent to pay. I needed to look for food. I had just gotten married. And then suddenly, bam, they tell you, we've put you on part-time. There's no such a thing. You can't move from full-time and suddenly people tell you you're on part-time and simply because it's about payday. I said, oh, really? I tried to reason with them, but why are you doing that? I know this, that. I said, okay. In my heart, I didn't want to fight back. I said, okay. I told them, no problem. I prayed to God, I need a proper job, Lord. You know what? They didn't expect that. A new job landed. They called me, the very place I was praying to start. He says, Mr. Piri, we need you. Are you available for this position? I said, yes, sir, I am. Really? When can you start? Because we needed you on Monday. Consider it done. He says, but Mr. Piri, you need to be interviewed first. We just recommended you. You need to be interviewed. I said, no problem, sir. You know, when I arrived that day of the interview, walking in this place which I feared, I thought I would never work. When the interview, I was waiting there, and when the director came out, he says, no, just give the young man, let him start on Monday. We don't have time for that. I rushed home telling Nora, the job. I have it. It was the day to go and submit my resignation where I was working. I went in that office. I said, sir, I don't think I'll be able to continue. He says, why, Mr. Piri? I said, this part-time arrangement, you know, I need to concentrate fully where I have started. No, Mr. Piri, you see, but a lot of students are used with you. And many people actually have come to know this place because of the way you are committed. You know, Mr. Piri, you can be dividing. And I said, no. I believe in committing myself 100% to work. The distances in between will make me not effective here. It will also make me not effective there. But I believe there is someone who would be capable of doing this work. Allow me to leave. I could see the sadness, but when I was abused, God saw that, and He gave me a better job. Right? Always remember, if people try to abuse you, yes, I'm not saying be a fool and go on with it. But more importantly, you have a bigger boss who sees your hard work. He is the one you should serve. He sees your tears. He sees your hard work, and be faithful. Don't let that allow you to steal in the name of they are not good people. Never do that thing. It means you are not a child of God, right? Serve people faithfully, even when they're unfair. Still be faithful. That's how Daniel was, right? That's how Daniel was, isn't it? Be faithful. Not just everyone is doing it, so let me do it. No. And remember, mediocrity must never be mistaken for humility. Mediocrity is shoddiness. Whether you are working at a company, business company, don't be mediocre in your work. Mediocre means you are doing shoddy things. You are doing average things. When you are given work, whether it is painting, whether it is bricklaying, whether it is teaching, whether it is being a nurse, do excellent work. When people see it, they have to say, Nindana napanga chupaiti. Nimkali. It means you invest your time in what you are doing. So you can apply this in talent management. You can apply it in your career. Number three, and more importantly, you can apply it in your spiritual life. You can apply it in what? Spiritual life. As an individual, or even as a church, ask yourself, how consistent am I with prayer, evangelism, or spiritual disciplines? You know spiritual disciplines? Things you do when you wake up. Do you read the Bible? Do you pray? How consistent are you with those activities? If you're not consistent, you find that spiritual, so to speak, bacteria, germs, parasites will start killing your spiritual life. Did you hear that? You find that you start watching dirty things on TV or on the phone. The same way the bacteria started making people sick in Pakistan is what will be happening in your life. Cholera. It means your spiritual life won't be healthy. People are praying, but you are having a guilty mind because of wrong things you were thinking about, wrong things you were watching. What is happening? There are spiritual disciplines you are not following in your life. Yeah, today maybe, you pray a little bit, you feel a revival. The following day, you are like a person who washes their hands today. Tomorrow, he forgets the habit. You are not consistent. You know what will be happening? You start desiring wrong things. When you see a person with an earring, somehow you start desiring that. How did that gem get in you? A wrong thing altogether. How is it in your life? What is happening? You are feeding on wrong things, right? Hello? Always remember, before it became a public health emergency in Pakistan, it started with wrong habits. What kind of wrong habits? Listening to wrong music. Someone is a Christian, but listen to the songs he listens. Atwa believer, mupempera, mbwela kuchech, kutiuko. Worldly songs in your life? Tupac. Believer. Exe. Believer. How are those things finding themselves in your life? They start as small habits, but which are done, and then they become you. Later on, you get sick spiritually. What are some symptoms of sickness? How do you know you have malaria? Appetite goes, right? You start losing weight, right? Oh, there's a revival meeting. Everyone else says, that message was powerful. That was exciting. And you are wondering, what was exciting about that sermon? No spiritual appetite. Why? You are sick, man. Right? Everyone is rushing for, there's prayer and fasting today. The last prayer and fasting was good. Let's go and attend. You, pole, fasting. Anyway, I'll attend. As people are praying, you pray, you are looking at time. You are looking at the time when you can eat. What's happening? No spiritual appetite. What is happening? You are sick. How did you become sick? It didn't happen on one day. It was poor habits which have become part of your life. And what is happening? You've become spiritually sick. Spiritual things no longer excite you. Things of the world, the things which excite you. Beware of these things. Let me conclude with this. Just as in the natural, in the absence of consistent and focused effort to clean and maintain your spiritual environment, germs, bacteria, viruses will ravage your soul. And although you could sing and participate in church programs, you could be in a spiritual comatose. Say, you find sometimes you participate in prayer. But many times people will be praying and praying and praying. You are just like this. That's a sick person spiritually. You know, you can tell someone is sick physically. How do you know someone is sick in a group? How do you know? Even if he hasn't told you. What are some symptoms? Can you give me symptoms? You know, to say, I think Badwara Sban Vera Bueno. Jason? Inactive. No activity. Even in class, those of you who are teachers, you should be able to tell when one pupil is sick. Twinangu, Tuvina, they are participating. Arms up, tons of twitch thumbs up. Forward. You know how it was in nursery, right? But when a child is sick, the friends are doing that. The friends are clapping. The child is like, just like. A teacher will know. They'll take that child aside. How are you feeling? Say, I'm feeling stomach, whatever. Why? When there's no activity, no action, the way everyone else is doing, you know that person is sick. Do you also know with a spiritual sickness, when everyone is enjoying the presence of God, people are praying, people are rejoicing, hallelujah. When it's time to sing, people are expressing themselves. You can see people are expressing themselves. One is looking lost. He's even kneeling on the wall. No dweller is sick spiritually. If God gives you spiritual sight, you may even see a demon sitting on that person. Believe me, you, these are spiritual things. I've had an opportunity to see what happens in the spirit. Someone you may think, niwa quiet, chabe, niwa zi. Let God open your eyes and you see a dark shadow on that person. Some people are spiritually sick. And listen to me. You need to shake yourself away from that and say, Lord, I claim my spiritual healing. You find that as you start singing along, as you worship the Lord, the devil will leave you. That's how it is. You understand that? Hello? How else can you know that someone is sick? Sorry? Uh-huh. How? Tell us. Naomi. Yeah, red eyes. Pamenso mzao na chabe kuti mzatu stiri pamoza, duala, mutu wala. Facial expression, isn't it? Do you also know when the word is being preached, you can tell by facial expression who is here and who is not here? I can see everyone is waking up now. Do you know that? You know you can tell by the face whether someone is here or they are out there. Do you know that? That's an important point, Naomi. You can tell by facial expression if someone is present or is absent. Brother Ted, you are the teacher. Sit there. Give us a facial expression of someone who is not present here. You can tell someone, the body is in church, but the mind, they are sick. It's not here. Can you show us that you are not here? The preaching is going on, but you are not here. Struggling between sleeping and being awake, right? You've seen that, huh? It happens in church, right? Sometimes amen is only cut, it's out of sync. Amen, 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 amen. Is only cut, amen is touching you. Ni amen, you're funa kuzone, zakunai and dilipo. Amen, 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 amen. After a short while. Welcome, Virachongo. Glory, glory, glory. No, thank you, Brother Ted. You are sick. You are trying to act. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. When you are in the service, be active. How are you supposed to sit when you are in church? So you see, so you're trying to correct yourself. How are you supposed to sit when you are in church? How does a sick person sit? That's a sick person. If you're an usher, don't allow someone sit like that. That's not the proper way to sit in church, right? How are you supposed to sit in church? You're supposed to be upright, right? Not in church. You are looking at a preacher. Is that how you sit? If you have a parent and they allow you to sit like that, you are ashamed to your parent. You understand that? Every well-taught child knows how you sit in church. I wanted to give an example, but quickly, when I talked about sitting, he sat up quickly. There's a way you sit in church. Do you know the way you are seated can influence whether you sleep or not? Do you know that? When you are seated in church, in communication skills, those of you who've gone through college, you talk about posture. You've learned about posture. How someone sits communicates to the person speaking, whether they are attentive. When you sit like that, let me see those who did communication skills. Someone is speaking, a very important topic. Someone is sitting like that. What are you communicating? What is this posture showing to the person speaking? Naomi? You are not interested. Sitting like this is being disrespectful to the person who is speaking. That's not the right way to speak, to sit. Someone is speaking, someone is playing with something. Oh, sis. Someone is speaking. What does that mean? Those who've done communication skills. Or maybe in a paper, you are just... But there is a serious speech going on. What does that mean? What does that mean? Terry, you're not paying attention. The person speaking, it doesn't bother you. Is that a right thing to do in church? Hello? Is that the right thing to do in church? Can someone tell me another posture which is disrespectful in church? Do you know any posture which is not right, Jason?
Sitting or facing down.
Yes. What does this mean? You don't laugh at these things. They're serious things. They teach them in college. They teach them in many places. When you are a young man growing up, you need to know how to behave in public. Do you know that? Even if you are feeling sleepy, there are certain things you don't do in public. One of the things is what Jason has said. What does this communicate when you are like this? What does it mean? What does it mean? Sitting while facing down. What does it mean? I want to see those who are clever, those who know what these things mean. You are seated and you are facing down. What does it mean? Kristen?
You're not paying attention.
Of course you're not paying attention. What else? Naomi?
The information is not important.
Information is not important to you? Uh-huh. All those things are correct. Uncle Ben? You are thinking about something else. You are not in the meeting. Brother Jason? You are uninterested. Another thing? Yeah, feeling tired. You feel like I'm not supposed to be here. You are just forcing me to be here. That's what it means. Did you know that? It's a pretense to be awake. Meanwhile, you are asleep. That's what it means when you are like this. There are actually people who are asleep. But their posture seems to... They are fooling themselves to show like, no, I'm awake. I'm awake. Even if in a meditation, sure. Musician meditation, preaching here and that. I'm meditating. Next time I'll ask, what are you meditating on? Can you come and tell us what you are meditating on? When you are in church, there's a way you sit. You sit upright, you look at the preacher. Whether it's in classroom or wherever you are, as a youth, learn how to sit. Isn't it marvelous? You're sitting good, marvelous. Standing. Also reveals a lot of things. Standing. How you are standing. What's the right way to stand in church? What's the right way? Can you come and demonstrate? Mm-hmm. Wrong way to stand. Yeah. You don't stand like that in church. You don't. Number one, you are making our words dirty. Number two, you are showing you are not interested in standing. I've seen a lot of young people do that in church. It's not right. It means you don't know how to behave right in a public place. These things I'm speaking, it's not just in church. Wherever you are, whether it's in a school assembly, whether it is in a classroom, you don't stand like that. Are we together? So next time, even tomorrow, you see someone standing like that, you try to tell them, can you stand properly? You try to shake them up. Say, can you do the right thing? It's not something to laugh about. It simply means someone is not taught. You can go and sit. So you don't do that. So, to all of you, myself included, I don't consider myself an old person. I still consider myself a youth. There are some people, they reach 40, 45, and they start behaving like they are grandpas, like they are very old. No! There are certain other churches where my age, we are youths in that church. You know that? There are churches full of old people. You know that? So why should I behave like an old person simply because I'm older than other people in the category? No! Youthfulness is a blessing. It means you still have energy to do things right. You still have energy to correct things you did wrong, right? So don't make yourself old when you are able to behave actively. That is why many times here you come. I participate in watering. I participate in doing certain things. Because I want to be someone active, someone who is consistent. Can we quickly go to the questions? I'm done.